And the Bible says the trying of our faith worketh patience or endurance. And how many of you always had some things? All of us have had some things that just kind of knock us down and take us by surprise and cause us to question sometimes even a lot of things that's going on in our lives or things that's happening. But I found out this, that God's still faithful. Regardless of what I go through, God's still faithful. And so you here you're going to talk about your illness again. I might throw it in there. It's kind of what's on my mind right now. And when you're a picture of health at 64 years old, you don't have any symptoms. You know, nothing's happening. Nothing's feeling bad. And then you get a diagnosis of possible cancer. And although it's a diagnosis that it's non-terminal and it's containable and it's, you know, fixable, and it's still cancer, you know, and it's still something that you're not expecting. And I realize it's not the same thing as being persecuted for Christ's sake. And that's what this is going to be a little bit about today. I understand that. But it's still a trial of my faith. And I still got to come through it with the right flag flying. the right attitude. And I'm trying my best to do that. And I really am not discouraged today. I don't want you to think I am. I haven't been discouraged through this whole thing. I've had peace. Okay, we found it. We're going to fix it. We're going to move on. If we find it and they can't fix it, we're still going to move on, but we're going to move on to a different place. Amen? It's fixable. But if it's not, I'm going to go see Jesus. So it's still fixable. So it's better maybe for you if I stay, but it'd be better for me if I'd go. Now my wife wants me to stay. Y'all can't believe that, can you? But she does. She got used to me. And so anyway, let's read our scripture and I'll quit talking about that stuff. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm going to stop right there. This is not what I'm going to preach about. But sometimes in our trials, sometimes in our affliction, and oftentimes, I should say, God opens a door for us to witness to somebody, then somebody can get saved through what we're going through, okay? So that's another reason to keep your head up and to keep the faith and to talk positively about what's going on, because somebody might get saved because of your witness. And so that's what's happening here. And he brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all them that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. And he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, again, we bless you today. We thank you because of who you are. God, we know that you're a great God, a God who cares about your people, a God that we can trust, a God who's in control of every aspect of our lives. Lord, we're not discouraged today, but encouraged. We're not cast down, but we are lifted up in you today, Lord, because we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those called according to your purpose. And Lord, so we stand in that today, and we bless you. And I pray, Lord, today that this word will bless somebody today. Somebody will receive something from this that will encourage them and cause them also at their midnight hour to pray and sing praises to you in Jesus' precious name. We're to rejoice regardless. I know it's difficult, but we are to rejoice regardless. Our circumstances change, sometimes by the minute. Our circumstances can change. And so we are to rejoice regardless of circumstances. We can, as we are caught up in different things, it can be easy to fear rather than have faith. But we need to have faith. And sometimes it's difficult to have faith when your circumstances have changed seemingly on a dime. And it's just like, you know, like, whoops, what's going on here? And why is this happening? And why me? And so we have to understand, no matter how bad it gets, God is in control. Some of you, in the last 3 years, we've lost a lot of loved ones out of our church. We've had several go on to be with the Lord, and they went through some sickness, and they went through some times of trial, and it's wondering, why me? Why us? Why now? But we've learned to trust God, and I appreciate the faith of those of you who have lost your loved ones, and you've just continued in the faith. You never blame God. You may have questioned Him in your quiet time, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you didn't blame God. You just built yourself up in your most holy faith, and you just kept on serving God. You didn't quit church. You didn't lay out of church. You didn't just stop and say, well, I can't go on. You just keep going on. Keep keeping on. And that's what you're supposed to do, regardless of what goes on around you. So God doesn't, but God doesn't change. In Malachi, the third chapter, and the sixth verse says, I am the Lord, for I am the Lord. I do not change. He don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said He would be. And you can trust what the Word of God says. You may question sometime, but you can trust it. And God doesn't mind you asking questions. He wants you to understand. And sometimes we gotta talk our way through it. We just got, you know, you ever talked your way, you know, sometimes we make rash decisions. It'd be better if we'd just talk about it and talk our way through it. And I've had some things I wanted to do before or questioning before. And when I got through talking my way through it and talking with somebody about it, the answer kind of just came to me. They didn't give me an answer. The answer just, as I was talking my way through it, working through it, questioning, the answer came. Oh, okay. Now I know what, I know. Okay. It's all right. It just came to me, whatever it was. I don't, you know, know circumstances, but anyway, it even when things get tough, God's on the throne. He doesn't change. That's why we need to rejoice in spite of what we go through. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? It's tough, but we've got to learn to rejoice in spite of what we go through. Habakkuk, the third chapter in the 18th verse, and I'm going to read the New International Version. I don't do that very often, but I'm going to do that today. It says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Message translation puts it like this, counting on God's rule to prevail, I take heart and gain strength. So whatever it is, just take heart, gain strength. Understand God's rule will prevail. Whatever God's will is for you, it will prevail. Whatever God's will is for this church, it will prevail. It's going to prevail. God's will. So I'm going to rejoice in whatever comes our way, whatever trial I go through, whatever situation I have to face, I'll rejoice in it. It doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean I enjoy it. But I trust God. I will not rejoice in trouble. I don't rejoice in trouble. But I rejoice in God my Savior. I rejoice because I know the trouble is temporary. Whatever it might be. You've all faced things. I face things. We all will face things. But it's temporary. Some of the things we worry about is so temporary, but by the time we get through worrying, it's already over. And a week later, we forgot. We worried about it maybe for weeks, and then it came about, and it happened, and then it week later, it's like, I don't remember what I was worrying about. And there wasn't anything to worry about. You can kind of say it this way. What will be. It's going to be. Might as well trust God. He's going to bring you through it. And like I said, if God brings you to it, He'll bring you through it. And if it's God's will for you to go through it, you might as well just rejoice in it and understand He'll bring you out on the other side and you'll have a testimony. So remember that today, church. So we're not rejoicing in trouble. We know trouble is temporary, but we count on God to prevail. God will prevail, not what someone else has ruled and not what the devil has ruled. The deliverance of God is eternal. Some people might mean it for bad, but God turns it around for good. The devil will bring it on you, but God's going to turn it around. Just rejoice in Him. So this means we can stand on the brink of what looks like to be disaster and not be afraid. Looks like disaster, but we don't have to be afraid because God is our strength. God, and we can stand firm on His Word, and His plan will come to pass, no question about it. It's going to work out. We know all things work together for good. We can stand on that Word. I told y'all last week, that's one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. Romans 8:28. It may be a lot of people's. I stand on that a lot. All things work together for the good. To them that love God, to those called according to His purpose. And I know I love Him. I know I'm walking in His will. I know I'm doing my best to fulfill His will and walk in His purpose. So I know it's going to work out for my good. Not always the way I like it, but it's going to work out. So I just hang in there. Do I grumble in my quiet time? Sometime. Do I talk to my wife about it and gripe sometime? Yeah, I do. How many of you don't never gripe about nothing? Raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. You know what I'm going to do if you do? I'm going to call you a liar. We all do that sometime. We all grumble sometime. We all question sometime. We all wonder, why me? We all like to sing the old hee-haw song. You kids don't know it, do you? What would you like for me to recite it for you? Part of it goes like this. Doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive agony. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's what they used to sing. That is not what a Christian ought to sing. A Christian ought to sing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I will lift up the name of Jesus at all times. I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to walk in strength. I'm going to walk in victory no matter what comes my way. Although I'm standing on what looks like the brink of disaster, I will still praise Him. I will still lift up the name of Jesus. I'll still give Him the glory. Even into my dying breath, I want to say, I love Jesus, and I trust God, and I'm going to go into the presence of the Lord one day. He's going to take care of us. He'll enable us to see it through, church. Whatever it is, He'll see it. We'll see it through. Paul and Silas suffered imprisonment and humiliation with that imprisonment. Their feet were fastened in stocks. Their legs would have been spread as far apart as possible to increase the pain. Their backs were lacerated by the whipping they had received. One place it said, I think I'd have to go back here and read for just a minute, but they had either beat them with a whip, 39-40 stripes save one, or they had taken a long rod and had beat them across their back with a rod. Another portion of scripture, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, or 10th chapter, somewhere in there, Paul talks about how he had been beaten thrice with rods. So this was either a rod beating or a whip beating. It don't matter. His back was lacerated. He was hurting. He was spread about, his hands and feet in stocks. But yet in the midst of their suffering, they sang, they prayed, and they sang praises to God. Not very many of us can sing and praise, to sing praises to God and pray when we've been hurt, when we've been bruised, or when we've been talked about, when we've been shackled by the words of others. Sometimes we can't sing. We can't pray. We just got to get on our face and just cry out to God, God, help me in my circumstance. But they sang. They prayed first. They got the, no doubt in my mind, that prison was shaken because them guys was doing all they can to dance in the Spirit while they were there bound up. They did, hey, Jesus. No telling what they were doing, but they shook. That prison house was shaken. Now, I probably took a little liberty there in how it was shaking, but the Bible said it was shook. It shook. There was a great earthquake. But it didn't come about because they sat there in a pit having a pity party. It came about because in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that affliction, in the midst of their humiliation, they began to pray and seek God and give God praise, give God glory, and it brought out a song in their heart. The joy that was down deep inside had to work its way up into their voice box, and then they began to sing praises unto God, and everybody heard them. It was like they were amplified. God heard it, more importantly. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, they were persecuted for righteousness' sake. We don't see that very much in the United States of America, but around the world, they're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Somebody's probably being arrested right now. Somebody's probably being flogged right now. Somebody's probably having their head taken off right now this morning while we're talking somewhere around the world. Somebody is suffering affliction and humiliation for the gospel's sake. We don't do that very. Our afflictions are sickness and somebody talking about us, or not enough money to pay the bills this week, or things of that nature is what we consider affliction. Well, that's light affliction. And Paul called this other stuff light affliction. But we think it's a major thing when we can't pay the water bill. Or we have to let our new car go that we couldn't afford to start with. Well, it's the truth. Oh, it's terrible. Can't keep my car. You couldn't afford the car. That's why you can't keep the car. So let me talk a few points here today. I thought you was doing all your points. No, that was my opening statement. Now I'm going to get to the points I want to make. There's only I quit number them after two. Two points, a lot of sub-points. We'll get you out of here by lunchtime. How do I know? Because I like to eat. That's how I know. Number one, true Christians will uphold God's standard of truth, justice, and purity and refuse to compromise with this evil world or a lukewarm church. A true Christian will often be unpopular. A true Christian will sometimes suffer rejection, and a true Christian will often face criticism. You need to understand that today. If you're a true Christian, no matter where you go, whether it's your school, your college, your work, sometimes within your family, you're going to suffer rejection, you're going to suffer criticism, you're going to sometimes be unpopular. I'm unpopular with some of my family, and we've all been raised up in church. I've got cousins who don't want to come around me. And when we have family reunions, they don't talk to me. It ain't because I'm being mean or ugly. It's because they go to their little groups. We go to our Christian groups. They go to their unsaved groups. And the unsaved groups don't want to talk to the Christians. We go try to talk to them. And they find a way to get away from us and go to another group. And we're not even going to talk to them about the Lord. We just want to find out how they're doing. We didn't come there to evangelize them. We came there to be a witness, but not to evangelize. We just came. We want to see you. I ain't seen you in a long time. But they don't want to be around us. Why is that? Because we're unpopular. And conviction comes. Because, see, especially between me and my brothers are there, and my little sister, we're all there together. See, my sister's a preacher. I'm a preacher. My other brother's a preacher. My other brother, he knows a lot about the word. He's not considered a preacher. But they get around us, and it's kind of like, oops, get away from the stones. They's all raised up the same way we were. It just didn't take. I ain't no better than they are. It just didn't take. We're unpopular sometime. Hey, I've been a preacher for a long time now, and sometimes I can get around some of the church folk, and I ain't popular. I've been told to shut up in Sunday school class before. Maybe I was wrong. I probably shouldn't have said anything about that woman smoking. But anyway, they told me you need to leave that alone, preacher. That's before I was preaching. They told me you need to leave that alone. You're offending that woman. Well, I think she ought to quit smoking. I think it's harmful. Well, all you're looking at me funny. We don't talk about that stuff no more, do we? It's hurtful. It hurts my feelings, preacher, for you to think I shouldn't do that. Well, I've seen the results and the effects of it. And some people live a long time doing it, other people don't. Some people never get a disease from it, but some people do. Okay? So I just think it's harmful for you. If not, it may not send you to hell, but it's harmful for your body. Okay? You work out your salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. You do that. You take care of that. If God says it's okay, you go ahead and do it. Don't blow it in my face, please. Okay? Don't do that. You don't. I know that. Most of you sneak around. If it wasn't wrong, why are you sneaking around? We finally one time, I got to quit, but I'm going to move on, but I'm going to tell this story anyway. We finally put signs up around the church about 20 years ago, said no smoking, please. So if you got to, smoke in your car. Well, they got to sneaking around behind the church. Grown men snuck around behind the church. We found their spot, man. Well, we seen it first, this big plume of smoke come. We thought the church was on fire one Sunday, and this big plume of smoke, and we got somebody come, Brother Stone, you know they're smoking behind the church? Oh, yeah, I know that. Well, come here and look. They're throwing all their cigarette butts were right there in this one spot. Well, okay. What do you want me to do? Well, you need to talk to them. I said, why don't you talk to them? They're already mad at me. You talk to them. You tell them to quit. They already know how I feel. Church, don't sneak around. If you're going to do it, do it. But maybe you ought to quit. See, that was a rabbit trail. I won't be back for maybe 3 weeks, so y'all just bear with me. I'm going to tell Denny to really get y'all next Sunday, so you'll be glad I come back. Sometimes we face criticism. Sometimes we're unpopular. Sometimes we suffer rejection. But that comes from the world and at times from the professing church. I understand that. Jesus said in John 15, verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It's just going to be that way, church. And so you need to understand that. So thirdly, I had 3 points there. And so the third point, when Christians experience suffering and persecution, we are to rejoice. Now, it's difficult when you come under intense persecution. When you really have people come after you, it's hard to rejoice. But you've got to just shake yourself and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, Paul said, I say rejoice in Philippians 4:4. He says, you just got to continue to rejoice. If anybody had a reason to grumble, if anybody had a reason to complain, it would be Paul. He had so many things he went through before the cause and of the gospel. And it cost him everything, but yet he said when he wrote to the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if they flogged you. It doesn't matter if they beat you. It doesn't matter if they stoned you. It doesn't matter if they talked evil about you. It doesn't matter if you had to escape at night through a basket over a wall. It doesn't matter if you've been shipwrecked 3 times. It doesn't matter if you've been snake bit. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. Rejoice always. Whatever you're going through, rejoice. It'll help you do better. It'll help you feel better. It'll help you accomplish great things for God. It'll cause you, your witness to be increased if you'll continue to rejoice. People are watching you. The world's watching you, the church is watching you, your preacher's watching you, and you need to rejoice regardless of what you're going through. I'm doing my best through my little storm to rejoice in the Lord. I wake up with a song in my heart. I go to bed with a song in my heart. I walk through the day with a song in my heart. I sing it verbally. I get up thinking about the Lord. I go to bed thinking about the Lord. I get up again singing. I sing throughout the day. I praise Him regardless of what's going on. I am grateful that my God cares about me, and He's telling me, cast your cares upon me because I care. Paul understood that, so he tells us to rejoice. True Christian joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in residence. The King is here. So we need to do that. Pierre Gilhard de Chardin, it's the best I can do with a French name, said, joy is the surest sign of the presence of God. Joy is the surest sign of the presence of God. So the bottom line is this, for you and me, is simply, grimness is not a Christian virtue. Will you be grim at times? Yes. Will you have a stern look sometimes? Absolutely. Will you have a sad countenance once in a while? Yes. But you've got to fight through it. You've got to just keep encouraging yourself in the Lord. You've got to keep rejoicing in the Lord. You've got to keep leaning on the Lord and understanding that He will supply your need. He'll be there for you. There's no sad saints. There's bad situations, but there's no sad saints. Who do you want to be around when things are bad? You want to be around somebody that's a little bit feeling good, aren't you? Or at least pretending that they feel good. We went to a conference one time, and Lord help us for going there, but we did. And y'all, the church sent us, by the way, is down to Creflo Dollars. And one thing I learned there, about the only thing I remember, they said this, fake it till you make it. But there's some truth to that. You're going through something. The trial is very, very difficult, and yes, you're trusting God, but you just really don't feel it down in here. You just don't feel anything. So what am I saying? Put a smile on. Begin to praise God. Fake it. Fake it till you make it. Well, that's hypocrisy. No, it's saying, I trust God. I know God's going to bring me out. I believe God to fix the situation. I believe God to come through for me on my behalf. And I realize that joy comes in the morning. Darkness may be through me on tonight, and it may be overrunning me tonight, but joy comes in the morning. When I get up in the morning, when this storm is over, I will have joy. When the storm is ended, I'll have peace. When it's over with, I'll have victory. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to fake it. I'm going to let everybody think I'm doing well until I am doing well. Just not going to let the devil tear me down. I'm not going to let him disturb me. I won't let him destroy me. He's not going to get my faith. I don't understand why some of us are sick and some of us are not. I don't understand why some die prematurely and others don't. But it happens. I just believe it's the nature of the fallen world because of Adam. So you want to blame somebody, don't blame God. Blame the devil and blame Adam. It's the nature of the fallen world we live in. There's sin and there's disease. There's sickness. It's just a part of it. But I still have a God that loves me. A God that heals, a God that brings deliverance, and a God that delivers. And I still believe Him. So you're going to experience sad times. You're going to experience loss. You're going to experience sickness. But if God is really the center of your life, joy is inevitable. You're just going to have joy. If you have no joy, you miss the heart of the good news, and our bodies and souls are going to suffer the consequences. I believe people who go through trials and tribulations and sicknesses and losses with a positive attitude do much better than those who give up and become downhearted and cast down. They just come through it better. They recuperate quicker. They get over it much quicker. Things look brighter quicker. We need to learn this. Joy. Joy. So, trials and tribulations will come. Persecution will happen. Things will not always go the way you think they, the way you want them or you think they should. Your best laid plans sometimes get messed up. You can, it just happens. But no, regardless, we're to rejoice. We're still to rejoice. You see, Paul and Silas prayed at midnight and sang songs. The believer's joy is within. Their circumstances didn't speak to joy. It didn't speak to peace. It didn't speak to deliverance. But they had joy within them because their joy was not conditioned by the outward circumstances. You hear me? Your joy is not to be conditioned by what's happening to you right now. Your joy is within you because of what God is doing for and through you. You trust God. So persecution, heartache, doom, and despair cannot destroy a real Christian's peace and joy. Didn't mean you like your circumstances, but it can't destroy your joy. It won't do it. They sang. Look at John, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It's up there. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. So you understand that? So we're going to go through some things, but it worketh endurance. It causes you to be able to stay in the race. It builds up your most precious holy faith. So hang in there. You've got to hang in there. The enemies of Christ cannot destroy the believer's faith and love for God. Look at Romans 8:35. If you would, I read this last Sunday. I want to read it again. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'll stop right there. And so we understand that we can trust God in every circumstance, even in the worst of circumstances. God will furnish grace. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And we're going to read this to you for just a moment here, some of this. And he said unto me, Paul said that by Jesus said unto him, he had a situation that he had asked God three different times to take away from him. We don't know for sure what it was, an illness, a blindness, this whatever it was. I don't really know. I don't know what it was, but some kind of maybe a physical infirmity. I don't think it was a temptation to sin that he had, but he had situation going on. And he had asked God three different times to take it away, and God wouldn't take it away. And Jesus spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So understand that, church, today. You might feel weak. You may not feel like you can do it, but Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Trust God. Trust him. He'll do it for you. You see, that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, it says this. It says that the Spirit and glory of God rest upon those who suffer in the name of Christ. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So we come through these things with the right attitude. God is glorified because you came through with the right spirit, the right attitude, and you were given praise in spite of the storm, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the affliction, in spite of the illness. You said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to sing praises. I'm just going to give him praise. I'm going to have joy. Not because I'm sick, not because I'm suffering, but because I love Jesus and I trust him. He's going to bring me through it. So if we're faithful, I'll close with this. Told you I wouldn't keep you past lunchtime. We'll close with just these couple things. If you're facing a difficult situation in your life right now, begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. No matter what it is, God will strengthen you in the middle of your storm. He'll strengthen you in the middle of your storm. He'll do it. He'll lift you up, set your feet in higher place. You haven't been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Trust Him. Praise Him. Be full of joy. Give Him the praise He deserves. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said. And again, I say rejoice. If you'll do that, you can come out with victory on the other side. You know, on the other side, there's victory. I don't know what you're going through today. So, well, you're just preaching to yourself again, aren't you? No, I'm not either. I'm preaching to somebody else today. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody just needs to receive this. Somebody needs to do this. Rejoice, regardless of what you're going through. In your midnight hour, pray. In your midnight hour, sing. In your midnight hour, seek. In your midnight hour, believe. In your midnight hour, have faith. You can come out victorious. You can have the victory. But you got to do it God's way. Got to do it God's way. Would you stand? I think there's some sick folk here today. Is that right?